back, ladies and gentlemen, for the second hour of this week's Liberty Hour radio program. We had with us, this has been a very busy morning. We covered the Free Gaza movement and the fact that the boats have arrived in Gaza, and amidst much celebration and cheering, we heard from Miriam, one of the supporters and activists involved in this project. And then Dr. Stephen Snigowski on talking about his book, The Transparent Cabal. We're going to have Paul Craig Roberts on here in just a minute. I'd like to open up this discussion now, if we can, to talk about the situation with Russia. And the reason why is Paul Craig Roberts wrote an excellent article recently entitled, Are You Ready for Nuclear War? Now, this is something that Phil and I have discussed many times with regards to the situation with Russia, that do not make the mistake of thinking that this situation with Russia is not directly tied to this whole discussion of Israel and the neocons. I don't want to toot my own horn here, but writing for American Free Press, I have been predicting now for some time that this war in the Middle East against 1.5 billion Muslims, that next on the list is war with Russia. And I have found very few people, other than Paul Craig Roberts, who were willing to corroborate this with me. But in his most recent piece, he does mention this, and we're going to bring him up in just a second. But before we do, I want to read from Dr. Roberts' piece. About half the way down, he says, quote, every agreement that President Reagan made with Gorbachev has been broken by Reagan's successors. Reagan's was the last American government whose foreign policy was not made by the Israeli-allied neoconservatives. During the Reagan years, the neocons made several runs at it, but each ended in disaster for Reagan, and he eventually drove the modern-day French Jacobins from his government. Even the Anti-Soviet Committee on the Present Danger regarded the neocons as dangerous lunatics. I remember the meeting when a member tried to bring the neocons into the committee, and an old-line American establishment representative, such as former Treasury Secretary Douglas Dillon, hit the roof. The Committee on the Present Danger regarded the neocons as crazy people who would get America into a nuclear war with the Soviet Union. The neocons hated President Reagan because he ended the Cold War with diplomacy when they desired a military victory over the Soviet Union. Deprived of this, the neocons now want victory over Russia. Now, having used that as the introduction to bringing up Mr. Roberts, Mr. Roberts, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much for coming on. This is a very striking piece that you have written here. And basically what you're saying is that everything is moving along according to schedule here. We had the destruction of Iraq. We have troops in Afghanistan. We have Iran on the front burner. And now we have this situation in Russia. And what you're saying here in this piece is that this is not something new, that you sat in on meetings as far back as 20 years ago when Reagan was in office, where you had a small group of people who wanted to see a nuclear war between the United States and what was then the Soviet Union. Is that correct?
Well, yes, that's more or less correct. They would never really say they wanted a nuclear war, but they would act as if with proper preparation we could strike first, and there really wouldn't be a nuclear war for us. We'd just incapacitate the Soviet Union. That was the kind of line that that they had. And that,
okay, Dr. Roberts, I'm sorry to interrupt. We have to go to our break. When we come back, we will continue this discussion. Everybody stay tuned. You don't want to miss the show.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis, A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
There you go.
Fat burners. I like the sound of that. Fat burners. Life Change Fat Burners. When fat burners are used in conjunction with Life Change Tea, you're going to see a change in your life. Maybe you'll be a movie star. Maybe you'll drive NASCAR. Maybe you'll be a lion tamer. Well, maybe not a lion tamer. Get energy, lose weight, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Your fat burners and tea are available at getthetea.com. Get energy, lose weight, getthetea.com. Your fat burners and tea are available at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. And don't forget to ask about our Mid-State Fair special. That's getthetea.com.
Do you ever forget why you walked into a room or where you put the car keys? Do you feel like you might be slowing down mentally? That could be a sign that the brain is aging. Our brains control nearly every function of our body, including our ability to learn, remember, and concentrate. Sadly, as we age, our brain cells begin to die off. We may lose 30 to 50,000 a day. In youth, brain cells are protected by special proteins, but these proteins become depleted as we age. University scientists in Wisconsin found a unique calcium-binding protein in jellyfish that can protect brain cells. Prevagen is the only all-natural replacement source for these proteins. Studies show that Prevagen can reduce brain cell loss by up to an astounding 50%. Side effects? The only kind reported are the ones you want, like a healthier brain, a sharper mind, and clearer thinking. Find out more by visiting our website at Prevagen.com. You can also purchase Prevagen by calling 888-814-0814. That's Prevagen.com or 888-814-0814. Call today for a special offer from Prevagen.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go with the second hour of the Liberty Hour, and it's my pleasure to introduce to you again the Honorable Paul Craig Roberts, former Undersecretary of the Treasury of the United States Government, and, of course, Dr. Stephen Nagowski. I'm sorry if I butchered that, Stephen. I apologize. But, Craig, if you would please, sir, thank you again for being with us one more time, and if you would go ahead with your comments, I certainly would appreciate it.
Well, the point wasn't that they would advocate a nuclear war. They would advocate certain American weapon systems and strategies that would allow to prevail easily with nuclear weapons and without too much risk to the United States. Now, this wasn't a very popular line, and the neocons had this line because, one, they have always been full of hubris, and they're enamored with exaggerated notions of American power, and the other is that they had this idea that in the long run we weren't well equipped to cope with the Soviet Union because they used more underhanded ways than we did in subverting other countries, and that they had the ability to allocate whatever percentage of Soviet resources they wanted into the military, whereas the Americans, they said, wouldn't be able to curtail consumer consumption enough to keep up. And so what we should do would be to, before we pass some timeline where we might not be able to hold our own with them, we needed to take them out. And so this was kind of the argument that they had. That might be an oversimplification of it, but it's been a long time since I listened to these things. Most of the anti-Soviet people who wanted to resist them, but without war, didn't buy into that at all and thought it was crazy and full of risk, and that it wouldn't do any good to have mushroom clouds all over the place. So they didn't get very far at that time, but it was their argument. They were dying to assert power, and they do that. They want to do that through war, and that is their nature, as I experienced it.
Dr. Roberts, I am puzzled by the fact, as you mentioned here. Of course, I'm not really puzzled. I kind of know the story. This whole thing, this term neoconservatives, of course, the first part of that word neo meaning new, Pat Buchanan and others have gone to great lengths in telling the story about how these folks, quote-unquote, became conservative, when in actuality they were sympathizers with communism of the Trotskyite variety. Now, here you have them during the Reagan administration basically pushing for policies that would, at the very least, bring us to the brink of a nuclear war with the Soviet Union. Since they were, by their own admission and by their own association, they were left-leaning, and let's face it, when we're talking about Trotskyism, we're talking about far left. Why is it that they were so against another communist country such as the Soviet Union?
Yeah, well, you see, they weren't left-leaning at the time. I think what the story is that the founders of the neocons, like Norman Podhoretz, these are very old men now. They were originally sympathetic with the Trotskyist version of communism, which was world revolution. You know, Trotsky wanted to take the revolution out of Russia or to the whole world. And the other view, Stalin, which prevailed, was socialism in one country. And so the Trotskyists tended to see Stalin, who had the power, as betraying the revolution. And so the neocons were associated with the notion of world hegemony, you know, world revolution. And so that's the real reason they turned on the Soviet Union, because Trotsky was killed and the Trotskyites were destroyed, and it settled down to Stalin's version, which was socialism in the Soviet Union, and it's not going to export this revolution. So that, for some reason, that was traumatic to them. I don't know what emotional and ideological and intellectual aspects were involved in their minds and hearts, but this made the original neocons turn on the Soviet Union. And they came into the conservative movement because they were anti-communist at that time, anti-Soviet, let's say. And I think they simply saw American power as a new way to have world hegemony. That since they couldn't go the Trotskyite way, they would somehow, we would do it through American power. And so they have always been in favor of imposing something on the rest of the world. Of course, most of the neocons now weren't alive during the struggle with Trotsky and Stalin and weren't part of that. And I don't know how it is they fall in behind Norman Podhoretz, but it must be the ideological appeal of being all-powerful or associated with a country or movement that can impose itself on the rest of the world. That was the whole notion, of course, of the French Revolution, which is why I call them Jacobins.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the French weren't content to have a revolution in France. They wanted to take it to all of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the Napoleonic Wars for 20 years. So this is the sort of mentality. There's been a book written about them, Clay's Wren, America the Virtuous. And it sort of traces the neocons and the notions that fed into them. So how they got into the conservative movement was that the conservatives were sort of browbeaten by the liberals for being anti-communist, and they were kind of looked down on. It's not that the liberals liked communists. They just thought that there was a certain danger in being too anti. You might get into situations that you could avoid. And I think their view was just to be calmer and more resolute, but not get too worked up about the Soviet people. And so the conservatives felt sort of beaten up by the liberals. And so when these people from the former leftists showed up, they welcomed them because they saw it as giving them credibility. Oh, look, we've now got these left-wing intellectuals who agree with us. Well, these former left-wing intellectuals, they can't be ridiculed by the liberals as you know, idiot conservatives and so on. So that sort of made the traditional conservatives feel better, like they had allies, and they didn't really understand these neoconservatives. I think they were called neo because they use that to differentiate themselves from traditional conservatives. And by opening up to them, the traditional conservatives lost their movement. They lost their publications, their foundations. They were just displaced, so that they really aren't today the kinds of conservative foundations and publications that existed prior to the neocon takeover. So that is basically the explanation. They're dangerous because they believe in hegemony, that the United States, they now say, has the monopoly on virtue. And so it has the right and the obligation to impose itself on the rest of the world. And, of course, this is all, most of them are allied with Israel. And so this fits right into the Middle East. It's a good place to start this because that's to Israel's advantage. If we can get rid of the few independent states in the Middle East that support the Palestinians and support the Shiites in Lebanon, then Israel can more easily confiscate the whole West Bank, southern Lebanon, and continue to expand its territory. And that's why the neocons picked the Middle East for their wars. And part of their hegemony is encircling Russia with military bases, putting them in former Soviet republics and former Soviet satellites. And this is extremely dangerous because the Russians understand that if the Americans get anti-ballistic missile bases all around their country, it tends to devalue their own nuclear deterrent and make them subject to American blackmail. So I don't think that the Russians are going to allow too much more of this. We're putting these bases in Poland, apparently the Czech Republic.
And Doctor, I hate to interrupt again, but we have to go to a break. Hold that thought. We'll be right back, and we will bring everybody into the mix. Everybody stay tuned, please.
Yeah.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. Okay, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, for this excellent show today. I'm not patting myself on the back as much as I am our guests. We have on with us Paul Craig Roberts, and I think Dr. Snigowski is still with us, hopefully. And
I'm still here.
Okay, good. Now, I want to go back to your article just a second, Dr. Roberts, and quote you here where you say, "When the Soviet Union collapsed, the U.S. and Israel made a run at controlling Russia and the former constituent parts of its empire. For a while, the U.S. and Israel succeeded, but Putin put a stop to it." Now, unless I'm mistaken here, what you're talking about, the U.S. and Israel controlling these parts of Russia, this has to do with these oligarchs who basically bought up all of these state-owned large industrial concerns and who were depleting Russia of her wealth. Now,
right.
Of course, when Putin came to power, he started jailing a lot of these oligarchs, and the others who weren't jailed fled to places such as Israel and England. Now, what I would say to this, I'll ask you, Dr. Roberts, this situation here that we are dealing with Russia, you're saying that these Trotskyites, when they were forced to flee Russia after Trotsky was assassinated, and then they took up root in the neoconservative movement, I don't think that it was as much an emotionally traumatic thing to them as much as it was that they saw that losing Russia, that they lost an extremely powerful economic force, because as anybody who has studied this situation knows, Russia is probably the most wealthy country in the world when it comes to natural resources. And I think that these people understood that if Russia ever pulled herself up out of the ruins of communism, that Russia would form an extremely powerful impediment to this hegemony that you are talking about. Would you agree with me on that?
I just don't know. I don't know. You know, you have to keep in mind that the Trotskyites are all dead. It was a long time ago, and I don't quite know how the neocons picked up this sort of desire for hegemony. I don't know. I don't know the answer. So I couldn't say. All I can say is that for example, we're trying to make Georgia part of NATO, and NATO has to do with the North Atlantic. Georgia is in the Caucasus. It sits up over Iran. It's got nothing to do with Europe or NATO or defending Western Europe from the Soviet armies, which are gone. So what is it about? The only thing it can possibly be about is American hegemony. And where did this hegemony drive come from? It came out of the neocons. I don't think it was a general principle of the traditional American establishment or even the old Republican establishment. I don't think they wanted to be able to stand up to the Soviets, but I don't think they had this notion of hegemony over the entire world. So this hegemony thing, which is leading to bases, American bases or military alliances with former constituent parts of not only the Soviet Union, but Russia, because Russia ruled Georgia since about 1800, long before the Soviet Union. Putting bases there is extremely provocative. And I don't think the Russians will tolerate it. And so if we persist, it's going to be a nuclear war. And given the attitudes of the neocons, I think I'm remembering correctly when I say that not too long ago, Billy Crystal of the Weekly Standard somewhere said, what's the use of having nuclear weapons if you can't use them?
Mm-hmm.
And we do know that the neoconservatives got American nuclear policy changed under Rumsfeld to allow preemptive nuclear attack. This was always a no-no in American military doctrine, and now they've got that changed. So they are people who regard nuclear war as a means toward American hegemony, and so they are extremely dangerous. I regard them as criminally insane, and they've held power over the Bush administration now going into this eighth year. They will exercise the same control over McCain, possibly even Obama, I don't know. And so we are directly being led into a confrontation with Russia that serves no American interest, that we don't need, that the world doesn't need. Our allies are being dragged along into it, and nothing is done to stop it or even to protest it. So I regard it as an extremely serious situation. This could happen very quickly. I mean, this I'm not talking about 50 years from now. This could be the next administration. We could find the nuclear war.
Mark?
Yes.
May I just ask a quick question to Dr.
Yeah,
Roberts?
Go ahead, Doctor. Go ahead.
I
hate to do this to you, but you're going to have to hold your question until after the break.
Okay.
Dr. Roberts, I know you have to go, sir, so we're not going to hold you up unless you want to wait for the question.
I'll wait for his question. I think he's waiting. He's listened to me talk a long time. I ought to listen to his question.
All right. We'll be right back, everybody. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with colds, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
There we go.
Here's a story. You wash your car, how long does it last? 3 days? A week? 2 weeks? Life Change Tea eliminates chemicals, toxins, and parasites, and much more. The effect? You lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. So here's the story. You wash your car, it gets dirty again. You cleanse your body, chemicals and toxins come back. The fix? Stay on the tea! And here's how we will help. Ask for the Mid-State Fair Special when ordering. Here's how to order. Online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get the tea. Restoring America's health, one tea bag at a time.
I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone, and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the last half hour of the Liberty Hour. Thank you very much for joining us. And, Doctor, you had a question for Mr.
Yes,
Roberts.
Go ahead. I did for Dr. Roberts. I just would like to have him comment on the fact that many non-neocons have joined the neocons in regard to this anti-Russian position. I'm thinking of people like Zbigniew Brzezinski, who are very critical of the neocon agenda in the Middle East, but support the encirclement of Russia. And also the liberal establishment has taken a very anti-Russian position. For example, the Washington Post today, their editorial says, who needs Russia? It's amazing they would have never, and then they take, you know, America should take a stronger position against Russia. It's sort of ironic that the Washington Post would have never taken such a position during the Cold War, you know, would have been very critical of someone like Reagan or even Nixon, but here it takes a very anti-Russian position, not too much different from the position taken by the neocons, I might add.
Yes, I don't know the answer to that. Possibly the neocons have convinced them, but I don't quite see how anybody could find the argument convincing. So I really don't know the answer. I've noticed the same thing. Of course, Brzezinski was long anti-Soviet, and that may just translate into anti-Russian. I don't know all of the baggage there. But it's extremely dangerous. And what I think, to underline your point, if you look at the American media's report, or for that matter, even much of the European media, for the reports on the situation in Georgia, they've simply misreported it. They've not told that this originated with the Georgian attack on the civilian population of the so-called breakaway province. They've not told that at all. They've interpreted this to the world as a Russian invasion of Georgia, and somehow an act of aggression on the part of Russia. And to find the mainstream American media simply reporting blatant lies, and this isn't the type of lies they reported that got us into the Iraq War, because they were believing the stuff being fed to them by the Bush regime, that, oh, they're weapons of mass destruction, blah, blah. They can simply look at the reporting elsewhere in the world and see what the facts are, and yet they continue to lie through their teeth. I don't know why the Washington Post lies through its teeth, or the New York Times, or the networks, or CNN. I mean, I think we know why Fox News does, but it's an amazing thing that they report black is white is black, and they can't be so stupid that they don't know that they are lying to the people. And there seems to be a tendency by news agencies elsewhere just to follow the American lead. I don't know whether it's because it's cheaper than having your own news service and your own investigations or what, but it's a total propagandistic front, and I don't know the explanation for this. I could not answer your question.
Well,
it could be intimidation, blackmail, you know, all the spying, money, the concentration of the media under Clinton, that Clinton permitted back in about 1997, where there's really not any longer an independent United States media. It's all concentrated in a very few corporate hands. They can't stand to go against the government because of their broadcast licenses, the advertisers who can be pressured by the government. It's become a totally propagandistic milieu for people. And maybe it's being more and more effective. I don't know.
Well, I'd like to just weigh in on something here. This may appear like a no-brainer, and I hate to sound like a one-hit band here, but given the fact, as you mentioned, Mr. Roberts, concentration of the U.S. of the U.S. media, the fact of the matter is that nothing gets in the media that is not in some way favorable to Israel, and of course, the other side of the coin is that nothing gets into the media that is harmful to Israel. Now, all of these stories involving Russia, the fact that you have all of these people now of what appear to be varying stripes, as you mentioned, Brzezinski and some of the others, and they're all basically singing the same tune right now, which is that we have got to get aggressive with Russia. Ultimately, what we're left to conclude by this, the fact that these things are in the mainstream media, is that somehow it is in Israel's benefit that this take place. Now, I'm not going to ask you to comment on that, Mr. Roberts, because we've kept you longer than we were supposed to keep you. We do have a caller who wants to come up, and it is James again, one of the callers we had from the first hour. Dr. Roberts, if you need to run, go right ahead. We thank you for coming on. If you'd like to hang around for a few more minutes, of course, you're welcome. James, come on up.
Thanks for taking my call again, Bill, and also Mark, I just wanted to make a point that Dr. Roberts hadn't touched upon. We're failing to address the PNAC agenda, the Projects of the New American Century, and the same neoconservatives, we touched on this last hour, most of them are Jewish, not all Jews support neoconservatism, that's an important fact to address. And you can actually Google neoconservatism as a Jewish movement, and you can see the excellent work by Professor Kevin McDonald at State University of Long Beach. But my point being, not only the neoconservatives have the background that Paul Craig Roberts had addressed, but also Russia actually supported, and still does, the enemies of Israel in Iran and Syria. So obviously you have neoconservatives now who have a passion for Israel that want to take down Russia for that reason. And you've also got a situation where you had, let's get back to brass tacks again, these Jewish oligarchs in Russia that were basically trying to take power away from Putin, and the Khodorkovsky with Yukos, and he was meeting with Richard Perle and company over at PNAC, and again, the Project for the New American Century, and he's associated with JINSA as well, the Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, and Colin Powell and his, in the bio book about him by the Washington Post correspondent Karen DeYoung, has Colin Powell in that book conveying that the JINSA crowd is in control of the Pentagon. All you have to do is look up JINSA and index. Back to the point about what's going on with the Washington Post. I'm going to be frank again. If you look at the editor of the gentleman who's in charge of the editorial page over there, his name is Fred Hyatt. He's a known, passionate supporter of Israel. He supported what Israel did in Lebanon, killing over 1,000 civilians, and here we have Georgia attacking South Ossetia, and he's mum about it, and now he's pushing back against Russia. And it's obvious. He's got that same Zionist bias. He's Jewish. Again, not all Jews support this agenda, but he obviously does. And I think that's something that has to be brought up as well. And I'll leave it at that.
All right. Thanks, James. We've got to get him on the show, Phil.
Yes.
Fellas, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I don't. I think that he's right on. And I'm going to have to leave you. And it'll be a shame if the world is destroyed in nuclear war because of a few Zionists. I mean, mm-hmm. They're a small part of the Israeli population and an even smaller part of the Jewish population, and yet the enormous influence they have on American politics and American media is just sort of mind-blowing and is extremely dangerous. And thanks for having me on.
Anytime. It was a pleasure and an honor having you on, Dr. Roberts. Okay. It's the three amigos, me, Phil, and Dr. Snigowski.
Yes, may I make an additional comment?
Absolutely.
Well, I just wanted something else. In others, I think everything that James Moore said was true. But also, the left, let's say the liberal establishment, never was as hostile toward communist Russia as it was to a fascist or Nazi state. They always thought there were some good elements in communism,
mm-hmm.
that it was left with. Yes, they might go too far in some areas. They were, as the term in the 30s, they were liberals on a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that in the 30s, many liberals loved Stalin, and, you know, yeah, they found out Stalin wasn't as good as they thought he was. But, you know, there was always some, you know, element of sympathy for communism. Whereas now that communism has fallen, it's no longer anything, you know, any type of ideal. Russia is nationalistic. You know, all these people who sort of had some slight sympathy, which was translated into, you know, a milder position toward Russia. In other words, you know, all, you know, arms agreements, Russia needs, you know, the liberals used to say Russia needed a security zone around itself because it had been invaded so many times. We had to understand why Russia controlled, you know, the Soviet Union controlled Eastern Europe. It was perfectly understandable, and only right-wing fanatics demanded, we're talking about the captive nations. You know, now that Russia is no longer communist, boy, they're demanding, you know, Russia shouldn't even have authority over, right, you know, countries that used to be part of the Soviet Union, that they don't, you know, those should belong to even NATO, which apparently Barack Obama. So in other words, now Russia is almost looked like upon as a right-wing, Putin mm-hmm. sort of presented as sort of a right-wing fascist dictator, even though he's, you know, the big thing they always claim, oh, he's really behind pulling all the, you know, the power there. So I think Russia has, the fact that Russia now has a very negative image among among liberals, in contrast to in the past, has played a role in the what I see as a big switch on the position of the liberal establishment toward Russia, from communist Russia to now non-communist Russia.
Exactly. That's an excellent point. You know, years ago, for example, the Hungarian uprising in 56, we didn't get nearly the kind of commentary on it that we did with this thing with Georgia. So,
No. Eleanor Roosevelt then was concerned about there were probably potential fascists who were revolting in mm-hmm. Hungary. We weren't certain about their democratic allegiance there. Whereas now this Saakashvili, boy, that man is an ultra-nationalist. but it's not even brought up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we always, you know, like the in Animal Farm, four legs good, two legs bad. You can't, you know, liberals can't bring up anything that might not fit, you know, the liberal position on people who are considered, you know, good. So it's little Georgia is they're a little state being picked on by evil Russia, but not wanting to acknowledge at all that they attacked even smaller South Ossetia that doesn't really want to belong to Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, where do you think all of this is going? Paul Craig Roberts. He's basically he's sounding the big alarm on this one, and he's saying, you know, that this we're not just going to have to worry about airliners flying into buildings here. We're talking about nuclear war, and it could come as soon as this next administration, which I would
It might depend on who is running. You know, not that I support either one of these two people, but mm-hmm. you know.
John McCain, yeah, he has made it clear that he takes a very aggressive stance with Russia. Of course, Barack Obama, having Brzezinski as his national security advisor for his campaign, does not bode well. So it seems as if no matter who wins, these people who want a war with Russia win.
The only thing I can think of maybe, you know, although I'm not backing either of the major parties now, because I have major differences with both.
Mm-hmm.
But, geez, McCain, and he brought someone like, you know, thinking of bringing Lieberman for a vice president. Now that's not the case, but if he makes maybe Lieberman Secretary of State or something, you know, which isn't, you know, and then there's Scheunemann, who's his closest advisor, who's a paid lobbyist by Georgia, who used to be high up in PNAC and the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq. You're familiar with that, I'm sure,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, so here we have somebody who's actually a paid agent of a foreign country who apparently
mm-hmm.
got McCain to meet Saakashvili, and now
mm-hmm.
you know, we're all Georgians, you know, we're going to fight a war. Yeah, if we were being attacked by, yeah, we'd fight, but we're not on the border of, we're not a little country and we're not on the border of Russia, and who, even if Georgia were in the right, which they were not, we wouldn't want to fight a war for the territorial integrity of Georgia. That's just, you know, like completely absurd, and we shouldn't, and if we ever bring Georgia into NATO, that's what we'd have to do. We'd have to guarantee the borders that Georgia claims, and Georgia claims both Abkhazia and South Ossetia is within their borders. So presumably if Georgia launches attack on Russians, peacekeepers in those territories, and Russia responds, we'd have to back Georgia and be in a war. It's just crazy. So
well,
there is a danger, people talking about, you know, not saying let's go to war with Russia, but the very fact of putting Georgia in NATO, which suppose,
yeah.
you know, Obama seems to be for too, boy, that would really be a crazy thing to do.
Doctor, we have just a few minutes and a lot of callers. I want to try to get as many of them in here as possible. Let's bring up Betty from Washington.
And hello.
Come on in, Betty.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Yesterday I was listening to a program called Taking Aim, and they have a documentation trail from 1997 regarding the book Brzezinski and Carter wrote called The Grand Chessboard,
right,
which lays out this current conflict in Georgia. They have all the minutes and the memos from the Heritage Foundation that this has been in the works and has been planned since 97 under Brzezinski.
Mm-hmm.
Are you gentlemen aware of that?
I was not aware of that. I am aware of the book, but I did not know that they actually had the minutes of this meeting in there. And so basically,
yeah,
what you're saying,
part two on Tuesday's show, and I guess you can go to their website.
Okay.
Taking aim.
Hold on, Betty. We've got to go to a break. We'll bring you right up back up after the break. Everybody, stay tuned for the last 5 minutes of the show.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the last 5 minutes of today's show, I want to thank everybody for participating, particularly our two guests, Dr. Steven Snigowski and Paul Craig Roberts. Betty, why don't you go ahead and finish your thoughts, and then we'll bring somebody else up.
God bless you all for this wonderful work that you're doing. I just wanted to make this information available to you all so that you could look at this as well and judge for yourselves, of course. But what made the program so credible was that they had all of their documentation in order. and everything in order in regards to Brzezinski. This is the Brzezinski plan, and we know that he's behind Obama, and all hell will break loose if he gets elected. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out to you gentlemen so that you could take a look yourselves and your wonderful listening audience in regards to that Taking Aim show. Again, it's going to be on Tuesday, part two, and they have the documentation.
Okay, is that, do you know this program, how it's accessible? At what
you can go to takingaimradio.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they've got all their archives there. They are aired on WBAI Tuesday afternoons at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern. And I heard them somehow on the Progressive Radio Network over the Internet and contacted Maya yesterday, one of the hosts, who has the documentation, and she was very forthcoming, very nice woman, and they've done their homework, and they've got it all.
All right. Thank you, Betty.
Bless your heart. Thank you for a great show today.
Thank you. Okay, let's bring up Richard in Alabama. Come on up, Richard. You're on, Richard.
Am I on?
You're on.
You expressed amazement at the power of the Zionist minority in the media. Well, the explanation is in the Protocols of Zion. It's an offer of contract. It's a request for money and a promise that if the money is granted, it will be spent this way to sow rot in this society, to overthrow the Tsar. And that contract, that promise, is being honored right now today. And the funders of this seemingly Jewish plot are the creditors of the United States and the International Monetary Fund, the people who have the chosen action, the power to demand payment on all of their treasury bills. The people who demanded the land for the Trans-Texas Corridor.
Okay. Phil?
Yes.
Are you still with us?
I am.
You have any comments about that?
Not really, Mark. I just wanted to comment on the whole show as a whole. It seems like the compass always points to the Middle East and right straight to Israel for all of our problems. And it seems like maybe I am a little bit prejudiced, but what I've heard and what I've learned today, it seems like I'm right on target. What do you think?
Well, look, I'd like to be able to find a reason to disagree with you, Phil, but I can't. And having said that, I guess those will be the last words for today's show. I want to thank everybody for participating. Sorry to the callers we couldn't bring up. God willing, we will be here next week. Everybody, say a prayer and thanksgiving for the fact that the SS Liberty and the SS Free Gaza have reached their destination all in one piece.
Hey, Mark, could you find out how many houses I own, please?
Say that again?
Would you find out how many houses I own?
All right. Everybody, have a good weekend and a good week. We'll see you next week. Gold has